Thank you, choir. Thank you, band. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise today. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you to Crossroad, and as Sean has already welcomed those, we want to welcome you, those that are online. Pray that this service would be a blessing to you. Before we get into the message, we are celebrating here at Crossroad what we call Black History 365. On this coming Saturday, we're going to be having a film featuring Dr. Henry Louis Gates, The Black Church. So that's going to be at 2 p.m. on this coming Saturday. Bring your lunch. We'll supply the water. And we're going to have a great time reflecting on some of the great things that Lord has done in our lives. If we don't tell our history, who else will? So let us be thankful for how the Lord has blessed us, how he's brought us a mighty, mighty long way. Amen? Do have a couple of thank yous as well. We want to reflect on those as we receive this from Larry Scott. He is in service today. Larry had some medical needs, and I think they've got him all fixed up. And he's just thankful. He says, "Thank you for your thoughts and prayers. Your attentiveness to me has made a significant difference during my recovery period. May God's peace and abundance continue to be with you, Larry Scott." And also we have a thank you from Richard Long and Jackie Long and the family, to Pastor Coleman and the Crossroad Church family. Thank you for all the love and support that you have shown to me and our family during our time of loss of our mother, Aurelia Long. May God continue to bless you and our church family. Thank you so much, Richard and Jackie Long. So we thank God for them. Amen. Let us turn our attention to God's Word as we look at some things today, and I want us to reflect on something. I want us to think about this. As we start our service today, we need to really make sure that nothing gets in our way of honoring God. Does that sound good? Because we can come in with a lot of burdens, a lot of things on our mind, and it can really keep us from worship. So what I want you to do, you don't have to be graphic like me. Yeah, but I'm going to kick a field goal here. Take all of your problems. All right? And the reason why I say that is because it is an absolute honor to worship God. And if we allow things to come into our mind and block us from really fellowshipping with God and with one another, you're going to miss a great blessing. So do this. Okay? Even though my team didn't win the Super Bowl, that's all right. We're going to kick our problem. We're going to kick a field goal. I see y'all laughing over there. All right. All right. But we're going to have a great time in worship. That's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about, to honor God, to get close to him, and to have fellowship with one another. You're going to always have problems. You step back out of these doors, you're going to have some problems that greet you and say, "Hey, where you been?" And you just tell your problem, "I've been to church. And I worship the Lord God." Amen? Is that all right? So we're back in the book of Daniel. I want to invite your attention to Daniel chapter 5. Making our way through Daniel, and we're discovering some things that God would teach us and have us to know. Daniel chapter 5. Beginning with verse number 22. "And you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, but have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you, your lords, your wives, and concubines have drank wine in them, and have praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand your breath is, And whose are all your ways have you not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to talk about handling holy things. Handling holy things. You may be seated. Father God, we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity of worship. We ask that you would dwell with us, tabernacle with us, and teach us from your word. We believe that you are the same God today as you were back in the days of Daniel and the times of the New Testament. Lord, you never change. So bless us that we would have that fellowship with you and with one another. Be in our midst today, God, and change us by what we hear. Lord, that we might be changed for the good. We pray this in Jesus' awesome and mighty name we do pray. Amen and amen. So I'm going to ask you two questions today. One we're going to look at right now. The other is going to come at the end of the message. Here's my first question. What do you consider holy? What's holy? What is holy in your definition? What do you consider holy? Second question is going to come at the end of the sermon, and that is, will you be able to pass God's final exam? You probably didn't know you were going to have one. You're going to have a final exam. Question is, will you be able to pass it? Now, here's where these two relate. Here's where they come together. If you don't know how to handle holy things, you're not going to pass the exam. If you learn how to handle the holy things of God, you're going to pass it. Does that sound reasonable? I'm inviting you to this passage about Belshazzar for a reason. We might look at Daniel's prophecy and we might say, well, that's to tell us about what's coming in the end time. Daniel also does some things of reflecting on what people were doing with their lives, how they were living their lives, and how they were going about their normal business. What I want us to think about is that everything you have has been given to you by the Lord. Everything you have. You say, well, I work a job. Yes, you do, but who gave you the job? Who gave you the ability to work the job? Everything, absolutely everything that you have, it all came from God. And so what Daniel does in the midst of delivering prophecy, telling us about the future. By the way, prophecy is important because it helps you to understand that God knows the future. Not only does he know the future, he plans for you and me to be in the future. That's a good thing. Look at somebody, touch them, say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want to know that I have a future. And God says, when you understand prophecy, what you're basically doing is you're seeing past where you are now and looking at where God plans for you to be in your future. You got a future. Somebody might be here today and someone may be listening online and says, well, I don't know about my future because things are so messed up right now. Trust me. Go back to your Bible. Start reading it and start understanding that God says, he even said through Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. God's got your future secured, so do not worry about tomorrow. You live today and live like you know that he is God. Amen. Is that good enough? So remember those two questions as we go through this. The main characters in the book of Daniel have to deal with, of course, Daniel, his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those three friends. But God also includes others like Nebuchadnezzar. And if you recall in reading the first four chapters, God is trying to speak to this king and tell him, you're not in control. I'm in control. I put you there, and I want you to serve my function or serve my purpose. Continually, God deals with him until when you get into chapter 4, God is really dealing with him because somehow or another, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't get it. He's boasting around Babylon, talking about, this is my Babylon. This is what I've done. And the Bible says that when the words were still in his mouth, the angel spoke from heaven. He lost his mind for 7 years, eating grass like an ox and going out and acting like an animal. But finally, at the end of those 7 years, the Bible says he looked up. Some of you, life has you on edge. You're at a point now where you don't know what to do, and the devil's trying to take your joy, and he's trying to get you to lose your mind. But look at somebody, tell them, hold on. God's going to have the last word. You've got to trust God. You've got to know that he's in control. After that 7 years, we find that Nebuchadnezzar gives a praise and an honor to God. He says, I want to extol and exalt the Most High God. He rules. He finally got it. He finally got it. He finally realized that the Lord is the strength of my life. Everything that you have has got to come from God. Do I have any witnesses out there? So when we think about this, and we think about his grandson coming along, we have to understand that everything that you have is going to have a purpose in it. Dr. Miles Monroe, I've listened to some of his teachings. Dr. Miles Monroe said, if you don't know the purpose for a thing, you will abuse it. You will abuse it. The other thing I find is that when something is given to you, it doesn't mean that you are the owner. It means that you possess it. You possess it. I'm going to ask three of my youth to come up, three of the young people. Any three that feel bold, just come on up. Come on up. Reason why I said three, because I only have $3. I only have $3. Y'all come on up. How you doing? There's two. Where the third one? Oh, I pulled out some money. Here he come. Here he come. Tell him, I'm going to give me one of them. All right. Y'all come over so the camera can see. I'm going to come over here. Now, I'm going to give you one. And I'm going to give you one. And I'm going to give you one. Does that mean that you own what I gave you? Because I gave it to you, right? Does that mean that you own it? This ain't working too well. Does that mean that you own it?
Yes.
Okay. Give my money back. Don't look at me like that. Who owns it?
You.
Now, I'm giving it to you. You may keep it this time, but remember, I was the owner. My point is, when God gives you something, you simply possess it. You're not the owner, right? Because at any time the Lord giveth, and the Lord can take away. Here you go. All right. Y'all did good. Give him a hand. You did good. All right. We as adults, we get that confused. We think that because we got a car, this is my car, you can put stuff on your bumper sticker, on your bumper and on your license plates that personalizes it. And what happens when we think that we're the owner, we misuse it because we don't know the purpose of it. Everything that God gives you is for a purpose. By the way, y'all need to thank me that I gave you that dollar. You know, I thought about it. I said, really, giving kids a dollar or a quarter doesn't mean much nowadays. With us back in our day, man, that was a whole lot. I started to give them $20, but I said, no, man. We have to distinguish. We have to really make sure we understand that what we have, God gave it to us. We're going to look at some things today. We're going to try to figure out what's happening with Belshazzar. What is going on with this guy? He ascends to the throne after Nebuchadnezzar has served his term, after Nebuchadnezzar is off the scene. Here's Belshazzar. Some say he's the grandson. Some say he's the son. When you read, certainly from the scripture, it appears that he was the grandson, but that doesn't matter. The fact was, God gave him the kingdom. All right? God allowed him to have something that is really, he didn't earn it, but he got it. Here's the point. He decided that as king, he's going to throw a party. Invite all his friends, invite all the royal court, invite all of the dignitaries and the people to it, invite his wives, his concubine girlfriends, concubines, and he's just inviting everybody to his party. They're just having a good time. They're really having a good time. In his mind, he thinks, let us really open up this thing. Send somebody down to get the vessels out of the temple that they had taken from Jerusalem. If you're reading your text, you probably have discovered that they brought those vessels that were supposed to be God's holy instruments. Things that they were using in worship there in Jerusalem, God allowed them to be taken from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods in Babylon. Belshazzar gets the big head. What we going to do, we're going to drink out of them. So, man, they just, here they go. They're drinking, they're just carrying on. You know how some of y'all do, you know. You know, when you get a little tipsy and just don't drive if you're going to drink. And I'm not endorsing drinking. I tried, it didn't work. Amen. But that's not the point. The point is, they decide that not only would they conduct what they call an unauthorized use, unauthorized possession of what belonged to God, but they also decide that, you know what, we're going to start praising somebody. And they praise the gods of silver. They praise the gods of gold, bronze, brass, wood, stone, everybody except the living God. Isn't that something? When people get to a certain place in life that they recognize everybody else. I want to thank my producer. I want to thank my director. I want to thank me for where I am, and therefore I accept this award. Never do they stop to think, I better thank God. Not only did they praise these gods, they left the Lord out. The very God that gave them breath, the very God that allowed them to move and to have their being, they forgot all about God. Unauthorized use, praising false gods, and leaving God out. Ladies and gentlemen, we can say what we want to, but that's very, very typical of a lot of people nowadays. Leaving God out. If you got something holy, you certainly don't want to leave God out because he gave it to you. Now, I asked you an early question, what do you consider holy? And I'm going to give you one thing that I think is absolutely necessary because without it, you can do nothing else. You can't even exist without this one particular thing. You say, well, what's this one particular thing? Time. You can't eat without time. You can't come to church. You can't work a job. You can't do anything without time. And Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, there is a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven. And without time, you will not do anything. You will not be able to go to McDonald's. You will not be able to hang out at the park. You will not be able to do a lot of things. You can't do anything without time. I would say that if you were to make a list of the holy thing, that's not the only thing, but I think it's a pretty important one. What about you? Let's show of hands. How many of y'all think time is pretty important? When you make up your list, make sure the time is on there. You did not earn it. And if God doesn't give you your next heartbeat, guess what's going to happen? You're out of here. Somewhere in your time, you need to have enough knowledge, enough understanding to say, thank you for this day. That's what, part of the reason why we come to church. Part of the reason why you come to church, you come to church to tell God, thank you for letting me live. Thank you for giving me health and strength. Thank you for the blessing that you've given me in time. Now, I don't know about you. I'm counting my time. I'm right now, I'm 72 and counting. I'm hoping I have a whole lot more, but I don't know. But with the time that I have, I'm going to trust God. Amen. I'm going to trust God. I've learned that a lot of folk my age act like they're in their teens. I can't run and jump like some of these young people can. Man, they can do a whole bunch of stuff. Me, I can't do that. I'm where I am in time. I have progressed. But my body didn't keep up. All right? So I've got to understand that this vessel is limited. I got it from God, but it cannot do everything. This is holy. This belongs not to me. I got it, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the one who gives me my next breath. Back to our friend Belshazzar. He was under the impression that they had this thing called absolute rulership, which means that kings, they ruled absolutely. They had absolute authority. And there are a lot of people, you give them enough money or give them enough fame or give them enough possessions, they'll think, I run everything. No. Two things going to happen in life. Either it's going to leave you, which I discovered that, or you're going to leave it. You got to make sure you understand where these things come from. Belshazzar didn't realize that. Paid it no attention. And so the Bible says a hand wrote on the palace wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. God had a prophetic message for that pagan king because he didn't listen, didn't ask anybody, how do you use these vessels? What are they for? What was the purpose of them? Didn't ask anybody, just took them to start drinking. Everybody said, drink, baby, drink. No, don't say that, don't. Did not take the time to acknowledge that these are holy things. One thing I want you all to do, including our young people, recognize that what God gave you is holy. Now, I don't want you to go over the edge with that, okay? Sometimes you can go over the edge with it. You know, you can get to the place where you think you're better than everybody else because you're holy. I didn't tell you that. But what I am saying is you got something so special that God gave you in love. You need to take care of it. Is that all right? Now, let me move on, because I got the other question. I got to move on to that. This brings up four principles, four things that happen. Four things that Belshazzar should have paid attention to, but he did not. I've already stated the first one. First one is ownership. Ownership. If you think that because you got a deed to your house or a title to your car that you own it, guess what? That car can be wrecked. Your property can be repossessed. And guess what? Somebody else owns it now. I found out that, you know, we in America, we have this thing. Yeah, you get the deed to it, and, you know, you pay for it, or you pay for the title of it. You got it. If you don't pay your taxes on your car and on your house, they will sell your stuff. All right, young people, y'all understand? I know a lot of people get this big surprise when they show up for work and they think, well, I got me a job. I got me a J-O-B. I got me a job. And next thing you know, when they get their paycheck, they look at the stuff and say, wait a minute, I worked so many hours and I'm supposed to get this. My gross pay says this, but my net pay says this. What happened? You got these other folks in there that's taking your money. FICA. Social Security? Who are they? I can't tell you everything about them, but I can tell you they got your money. There ain't a thing you can do about it. You got to understand, you're not the owner. Guess what? Nobody taxes God. Why? He's the owner. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Somebody shout out, he's the owner. When you woke up this morning, the reason why you saw another day is because your owner said, get up. Started feeling pretty good and started realizing, man, I'm really having a nice day. That's because your owner said, I'm going to give you another day. Your owner, he's the one that loves you, and he's the one that's going to take care of you. Even when you're down and out, even when you say life is rough, guess what? Your owner has mercy on you. Your owner looks down from heaven and says, be not dismayed, whatever be tired, I will take care of you. That's your owner. Second thing about this that Belshazzar didn't realize, he didn't realize, paid no attention to the fact that somebody else owned what he was using. Second thing about it, he didn't observe. He didn't have that, what we call observation. And what God told the Israelites to do, now when you get into the land that I promised you, I want you to observe these laws, these rules. Now, the young people have a lot of good time with that. Why I got to go to bed at a certain hour? Because you don't like to get up. No, you need your rest. Seriously, you need your rest. You need your rest. Why I got to eat this stuff? I don't like eating that. What do you expect, candy? There are rules. The rules are not to punish you. The rules are to help you that you can develop. God didn't give the Israelites rules or tell them to observe his laws because he was punishing them. He said, this is how it works. You do this and it'll work well. It'll bless you. But if you do it wrong, it'll curse you. Everybody say, uh-oh, here come the handwriting. Now, Belshazzar, God wrote on the wall, but guess what? If you don't treat your holy thing right, which is your life, God will start writing some stuff on you. Put wrinkles where you didn't know wrinkles could be. Because you just didn't take care of the holy things. Didn't observe the rules. He didn't consult with anybody before he just started having a good time. May I just interject here? Life is not about having a good time. Life is about development and using what God gave you to the best of your ability. That's when you really live. I used to hang out with my friends and thought that was cool. But I had the kind of mama that if you didn't come home by a certain hour, she'd come and get you. Here you are at your party. You just out there. Come on, y'all teenagers and late teenagers. You just out there just having a good time. And oh, here come that blue Ford. And more smoke coming out of her nostrils than coming out of the exhaust pipe on that thing. And she didn't just run up to me and grab me by the ear. She came with a stick. And that meant she meant business. Why? She was concerned about my future. And I'm so glad that I had that type of parent that would correct me when I was wrong. That would tell me, you are not doing right. And then she'd really hit me between the eyes. She said, you know what? I expected so much more of you. Oh, man. Everybody say, oh, mama. I see y'all parents just nudging those kids. Yeah, I see. But observe to do. Your heavenly Father nudges you. Say, wait a minute. I want you to do more than that. I think you're capable of more than that. I didn't raise you up. I didn't bless you just for you to throw it all away. I'm your God. I'm on your side. Now, shape up. That's what God says to us. When you do that, you observe his law. Third thing is operation. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. Amen. Say that with me. It's one thing to know, and another thing to do. Lots of people, even in the Bible, knew better, but didn't do better. Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, had just been appointed, just placed in the position of priest and assistant priest for their father Aaron. And so they were to offer the things for God, and they were to really honor God with all that they do. And the Psalm 28 talks about the operation is from the Lord. In other words, same God that tells you how to use it will also help you use it in an effective way. Here these two, they decide, we're going to just go in and we're going to run things the way that we think best. The Bible said they came in and they offered some incense and they were making sacrifices in an unauthorized way. And do you not know that fire came out from the presence of God and struck them dead? They called it the burning because the Lord did not allow them to go through with what they thought they wanted to do. He corrected them. I know some will say, well, that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they had two people, saints of God, that decided they want to lie about their offering. Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to lie about their offering, how much they were given, and they came in and they wanted to brag about, yeah, we sold a piece of property and we're going to give it all to the church. And Peter said first to Ananias, you ain't lying to me. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. And immediately, he died right at the altar. Amen. Wife came in a couple of hours later. Peter said, did you sell this property for such an amount? Yeah, we sold it for that amount. Yeah, we gave it all to the church. And Peter said, the same feet that took your husband out here, same ones that took your husband out, gonna take you out. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't play with holy things. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Now, I get it. I really get it. All of us are going to come short of God's glory. Amen? Amen? So no need of us in the church, somebody getting mad, but doesn't because they did it that way. Now they're getting mad. We all fail. Amen. But here's the good news. God still expects for you to do that which is right to honor him. Somebody say amen. Amen. You have got to make sure that you're operating right. Amen. That's why I said that when we come to church, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad that the Lord gave you one more day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not really worried about it because I'm not there yet. But I tell you what, I'm going to rejoice today. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. I am going to give God all the praise and all the glory because he is worthy to be praised. We see that then that here is Belshazzar, and he's at a point now where he's invited Daniel to interpret what is happening, what that writing means. Sometimes you don't need an interpreter. It's really right here in the book. I want to say this before I get to my next point, closing point. You got an owner's manual. I was out the other day, Joe, I was looking at my car, and in the glove compartment of my car, I have this thing called an owner's manual. Owner's manual. That owner's manual tells me that when something goes wrong with this vehicle, you can look it up. You can do the research. Guess what? You got an owner's manual. And I'm not talking about just reading it every now and then. I need to be inspired. No. You need to get in here and be instructed. This is the owner's manual. The owner will tell you what is needed in your life. The owner will also tell you what you're lacking and what you can do. How many of you would be honest with yourself and you would say, I could really do more? How many of y'all be honest? All right, let me. Some of the young people, they just fold their arms like, you talking to me? Now, some of you are satisfied with just passing the grade. As long as I get an A on my report card, I'm fine. But what if you could do better? What if you could get to the place where you were so instructed and knowledgeable to where you were able to skip a grade? I believe in some of you young people that you could really be a genius if you wanted to. You could be what they call the thing, a child protege. Is that what they call them? All right, you could be one of those real smart kids. But the reason why you don't want to be smart because you don't want nobody to call you a nerd. You want to be cool. Right? You're not optimizing your gift. Some of us in the church could do a whole lot more. We're not optimizing our gift. Number one, you're not praying. Nothing happens apart from prayer. The only thing you do is you have an idea, but when you pray, you know. You know what God can do. Well, I see y'all's eyes getting a little glazed over. You kind of, okay, so I'm going to hurry up and finish this sermon, all right? Trying to teach you, trying to help you. Amen. Optimization simply means you give God all. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, it tells us you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That's optimization. We love him a little bit, but what would happen if you gave God absolutely everything? Daniel gave God everything. And as you will observe, looking at the book of Daniel, every time you turned around, God was allowing him to be promoted. The reason why some of us are not promoted in life is because we're just satisfied with where we are right now, what we're doing right now. That's good enough. You know, that I really don't need to do anymore. I'll just do enough to get by. That was not Daniel's attitude. And it should not be ours. God's got more in you. I'm going to preach to you now. God's got more in you than what you even realize that you have. Greater. What did the Bible say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Every time you approach a problem, God said you're able to overcome it. Lord, I can't do this. You can do the impossible if you simply believe that God is real. How many of y'all believe that God is real? And if you don't have the strength, guess where you can get it from? You got a mighty God on your side. And he didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Can I get a witness here? You got to understand who is working in you and what God is able to do. Now, I want us to notice something. I didn't realize this until the other day, that the Babylonians were now at the point where it said that their kingdom was limited. Mene, which meant, okay, I've numbered your kingdom. I've numbered it, and it's finished. This is the end of it. This is the end. God was not telling him the end is coming in 2 years, 2 months. God said the end is coming right now. I want to put that question before you again. Would you pass God's final exam? And I'll give it to you in the form of a question in just a minute. But he said to Belshazzar, the kingdom that you inherited has now come to an end. What are you going to do if this were the last day of your life? How would you handle it? Let's look at some things here. First thing you got to do is allow God to write your story. You're trying to write it. You're trying to do something for yourself. You're trying to say, hey, I can do this. You can do nothing without God. But when you have God, all things are possible. Look at somebody and tell them all things are possible. God said to Belshazzar, your kingdom is numbered and it's finished. Then he said to him, Tikal, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, let me tell you how the preachers back in the old day used to preach that. They would say that when you get to heaven, you're going to be put on a scale, and your good works, amen, going to be put on a scale, and then you're going to have your bad works. And if your good works outweigh the bad, you'll get into heaven. That ain't what the Bible says. I don't know. I think they got it from this verse right here, but nowhere in the Bible that say God's going to give you time to get on a scale. It doesn't say that. What it does say is you will stand before God. Sinners will stand in the judgment, and believers will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Either way, you're going to stand before Almighty God. What happens when you stand before him? Are you going to go there and say, Lord, I'm hoping my good works outweigh my bad works? God's going to say, I don't know where you get it from. You didn't get it from me. You got to be able to pass that exam. If you want to get into heaven, there's one question that I'm going to pose to you in just a minute. So let God write your story. Some of you got the story wrong anyway. Some of you think everything is about me, myself, and I. Let God write your story. Let him tell you what you need to do. Let him direct your footsteps. Let him guide you each and every day, and God will show you the way that you need to live. Secondly, I'm praying that you will pass God's exam. You know he's going to look at you. You know he's going to observe your life from the beginning, even up until you drew your last breath. By the way, final exam only has one question. One question. Let me go on to the question now. Recognize that? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That blank. Stop right there. Stop right there. In the text in the Bible, it's a word, whosoever. That could be anybody, right? Matter of fact, it is anybody. Here's the final exam. When you stand before God, either at the judgment seat of Christ or you stand in the great white throne of judgment, this question is going to come up. Whosoever could be William. Did I believe? Did I trust him? Did I acknowledge him as God? It says, if you believe, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only thing that is going to get us into heaven is how you answer this question. Here's the catch. You got to put your name there before you breathe your last breath. You've got to believe before you leave. You got to trust him before you die. You can't do it afterwards. You can't ask for, hey, let me get a retake on that exam. No, it's final. My prayer is that all of us would do that. That all of us would trust Christ. As I come to the close of this service, the sermon rather, later on that night, after Daniel had read the interpretation, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Later on that night, Cyrus the Mede would come into the city of Babylon and take it over. The folks were partying and getting down so much that they didn't even realize that the river was drying up. Why was the river drying up? It was drying up because the Medes had come up with a plan, said, hey, we reroute the Euphrates. Guess what? Their defense is gone. Their defense was this river that surrounded the entire city. They said, man, and nobody had sense enough to look over the walls and say, hey, man, something's happening to the water. And at night, all the troops of Cyrus the Mede came in under the gate because they walk right through the river. Isn't that something? We're so secure now, we think everything, man, I got it made in the shade. As Reverend Gibbons said, we don't think about that stinking thinking that could be in our life. By the way, I came up with a catch on that stinking thinking. We were told, always build your hog pen downwind. City folk ain't gonna catch that. But if they had a hog pen, they figured it out. You got to put your name there. The only security that you and I have is to know that we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things, absolutely all things, are become new. I'm going to ask you right now, if you have not put your name there, don't you think it's time? Don't put your name, then erase it. You keep your name there and say, is it God? I will trust with my very life. Will you do that? Let's give this closing prayer together. I'm going to ask that we all stand. You say, Pastor, that's the sermon. That's what God told me to tell you. And we need to take heed to it. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, you got something holy, and you really need to treat it that way and not compromise where you are right now. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, you have given to each of us your special gift. It is holy because it came from you. And we must give that back to you. Please forgive us for misusing our time or your time. And even your salvation. Help us each day to show love and gratitude. Above all, dear Lord, write our story, that it may honor you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? He is good, and he loves every one of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you, God, for how much you have done in our lives, even when sometimes we rebelled against you, came short of your glory. God, you spared our lives, and because of that, we're grateful today. I want to thank you, God, for our journey, and we ask that you continue to write our story. Help us, God, that we would live so that you can use us in this life. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all of the honor. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to give the invitation before we close the service. There might be someone who said, well, Pastor, I've never written my name there. I never thought about it that way. But I think what you said has helped me to understand that I need to give you control of my life. If that's going on in your heart right now, we don't want to embarrass you. We just want you to accept it. We just want you to believe it. If you feel led, we ask that you come. The altar is open. The doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let him come. If you're listening online, you can't come in here, but you can write to us and say, you know, you said something that helped me. I want to give my heart to Christ. If that's you, we pray that you do that. We're living in some critical times now. We got to get it right with God. We can't just keep going through this thing. We got to get it right with God. Amen. Is that one? Is that one? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily. Come on, say it. Let's say it again. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Ask Brother Joe to come and dismiss us in prayer. Good to see Sister Knight in church with us today. Amen. Amen.
This is the time for reflection. You know, if you're like me, I like when I sit there to take notes so when I go home, I can reflect on the message. Because we have a tendency to forget, and we cannot forget God. Thank you, Pastor, for reminding us that everything belongs to God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you, O God, for the message, dear Lord, that you have given to us. As we leave this sanctuary, Lord, we pray, O God, that you continue to bless. Continue to motivate us. May your spirit lead and guide us so that we can share with others the gratitude, O God, that you have shown to us. We can show it to others. And even now, Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us an opportunity to participate in giving. We do pray, dear God, a special blessing upon the offering. That you continue to use it for your kingdom. And that men and women, boys and girls, wherever they may have an opportunity to hear the gospel and trust Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day.